Welcome to Slaughterhouse Stories. I hope you enjoy the stories I have for you tonight. Hello to all you things that go bump in the night. Hello to all you fleshbag humans as well. Welcome to the Slaughterhouse Stories Podcast, Episode 2, The Doll. My name is Ghost Train. It's time to climb on board the show that brings you chilling and thrilling creepypastas from all across the spooky side of the internet. For a little under a year, I've been narrating stories on the Slaughterhouse Stories YouTube channel and decided it was time to bring it to the podcast world. Now let's get spooky. Tonight's opening story by Brian56T is about what happens when someone takes their interest in the paranormal beyond ghost stories and TV shows. When they become so interested and obsessed that they decide it's time for them to perform a ritual and become their own paranormal story. Turn off the lights and listen to the thing that never was. The story begins when my lifelong friend Henry began to take an interest in the paranormal. He would sit around for hours at a time, just reading up on people's encounters with the dead, cryptids, and other subjects of that nature. His main focus, however, was in rituals. He would go on and on about this vague sequence of events one would follow, usually ending in a scary or odd payout. One day, however, he came across an elixir made of some fairly basic herbs that when ingested, caused the user to go beyond the normal area humans could travel. By this, it meant the user would fall into a trance where they would be able to talk to those who passed and those who never were. I was always fairly open-minded to these, simply thinking that he thought of these as stories to read for a cheap scare. In fact, I was starting to enjoy them myself. However, when Henry suggested that he should make this elixir, I was extremely skeptical. I thought either it would kill him, due to it being a poison, or mess his mind up beyond repair. But he always insisted he saw people on YouTube making it and ingesting it, so I should stop worrying. I gave in and said whatever, but Henry insisted that I came along when he took the elixir. I caved in. I thought having a friend around while he did it would make it slightly better, so at least I could take him to the hospital if he started vomiting blood. The day of, he was clearly nervous. His skin was pale, and he was shaking. He had a cold sweat running down his face. He insisted he was all right and had already made the elixir. He called it the Potion of Truth because he was afraid he would hallucinate for about 5 minutes and totally flip out. We planned for him to take the potion in a forest behind Henry's house to prevent unnecessary drama while his parents were home. Only a few people ever visit to smoke illegal substances, and Henry took the elixir. It was as brown as mud, but wasn't as vicious. Its smell was odd. The only way I could explain it is similar to the smell you get before a nosebleed. Henry forced down the liquid, and his face scrunched up. He swallowed it, but just barely. Our eyes met. Henry shrugged and looked around. After that, he immediately fell over, eyes still open. I checked his vital signs, and they all seemed to be in working order. But the odd thing was, he wasn't entirely passed out. His eyes darted around in shock, and his heart raced. He tried to yelp, but it came out as a slight sigh. Before Henry took the substance, he told me to wait 20 minutes before calling the ambulance if something was wrong. His heart may have been beating fast, but it wasn't at the point of alarm. After 10 minutes of what seemed to be paralysis, Henry suddenly snapped out of it. He sat up, and our eyes met. His eyes were wide open, and there were tears in the corners of his eyes. He said one thing to me. I saw them. Immediately, what I asked was who. Henry couldn't bring himself to answer. Actually, it wasn't as much as he couldn't bring himself to answer. It was more of the fact there wasn't much of Henry there to answer. His eyes were wide, but he seemed unresponsive to my question. His skin was paler and clammier than ever. Afraid that the elixir was still in his system, I brought him to the hospital. They ran some tests on him, but doctors found nothing in his system. It wasn't that a substance was distracting him from reality. There just wasn't enough of Henry left in consciousness to respond. I stayed by his side for what seemed like decades. Though in reality, it was just a couple of hours when Henry finally said something. In a weak voice, he simply said, "Brian, make it leave." Being the first words he'd spoken in over 5 hours, I jumped to the occasion and shouted,
"What? What, Henry?"
He looked at me with vacant eyes and said, "The thing that never was." He immediately passed out and didn't wake. For the next couple of days, he was pronounced comatose. He didn't say anything, or even move an inch. He simply wasted away. The once bright face turned into pale skin and blue lips. One change in the room that was clearly felt was a feeling. It turned cold. Not a chilly cold, but an absence of warmth. Almost as if all the heat in the room was being pulled towards a single point. After a while, it caught my attention. Whenever I looked towards the cold spot, I would get a pit in my stomach, almost as if it was staring back at me angrily. Eventually, my curiosity peaked. I walked over to the spot and put my hand through. What I felt, I can hardly explain. My arm tensed up and started to lose all its warmth. There was a clear line where my skin tone turned from slightly tanned to a cool shade of light blue. I pulled away, but the skin tone didn't change. It still hasn't. I looked into the void of coldness, and what stared back were small, bright red eyes. It didn't stare into my eyes, but at a part of me I thought unreachable by eyes. I felt it searching my very being, and at this point I stood up and ran out of the room. I sat outside the hospital door, curled up against the wall. I felt the heat from the hospital hallway rush in under the door towards that thing. I looked through the window and the door to find a dark figure looming over Henry. It was still translucent, but it clearly had a physical presence in this world. It had long, gangly arms and legs, and a hunched, slender chest. Its face was long but caved in, with ears pulled back like a stalking animal. But the most noticeable feature about this thing was its multiple mouths, with rows of sharp teeth all around its chest that were open and snarling. What happened next, I couldn't believe. As the figure became more and more clear, it began to suck out what seemed to be a white vapor from Henry. After what seemed like an eternity of me staring at this thing, the white vapor no longer came from Henry. His head turned to one side, and the air escaped from his lungs. Henry had died, and the monster triumphed. By now it was completely opaque. It let out a mighty roar and turned its head to me. Our eyes met and I stood paralyzed. It was only a moment, but it would be a moment that I'll never forget. After that, it jumped out of the window, and it was gone. Henry was dead. When Henry went where the living were not supposed to travel, he was followed back by a spirit whose hard purpose denied its right to exist in this world. This being could only survive by absorbing the souls of the living. Its purpose, however, was not insidious. What draws it to do such a thing is the pure instinct put in every living thing: survival. Because of Henry, this being has gained a physical form and is very, very hungry. Poor, poor Henry. When will you fleshbags learn not to step into our world? Also, is anyone else really hungry right about now? No? Oh, me either. Henry is off to the big sleep, where he doesn't have to worry about things anymore. Unfortunately, sleep isn't always such a comfort for everyone. Some people are truly haunted by a mental phenomenon known as sleep paralysis. It can be a truly terrifying, but usually completely harmless condition. However, what if you think you have it, but it turns out you're not that lucky? That's exactly what Excalibur 0645 presents to us. That awful and terrifying moment when what you thought was your mind playing tricks on you turned out to be something playing tricks on your mind. Let me step out for a snack while you sit back, relax, and cringe at just an illusion. The world is full of illusions. There's no denying that, right? Illusions are visual trickery that can fool your mind, but they can be in other forms as well. Also, they're everywhere. They could be in your computer screen. They could be in your dreams. They could be in the books that you're reading. And they could even be behind you right now. You're never sure. To add up to that, illusions are not just inanimate objects. They're not just pictures you can make the most of. They're not just those silly impossible triangles and McKay illusions that can entertain you if you're in the right mood. They can move, but you're not going to believe me, right? Legend says that whenever you dream, your body is temporarily paralyzed, so you won't be able to act out the movements in your dream. Although there are some people who still sleepwalk, but those occasions are rare. What happens when you suddenly become conscious during the state of paralysis? You experience sleep paralysis. And trust me, it's a horrible experience. In sleep paralysis, your brain starts to hallucinate. You may see dark figures or phantoms around your room, or even an evil monster standing in front of your chest, giving you the sensation that there's something heavy on your torso. You can just close your eyes, but in this state, you're too afraid to do so. You hear screams of agony and bellowing of ignorance right in your ears, and your eyes are fuzzy and blurred. This is probably one of the scariest experiences that you'll ever get in your life. Well, in case you get this experience to start with. But now you're probably saying, scariest, oh please. Those stupid phantoms are just illusion. Give me a break. How sure are you? I'm pretty sure that whenever you sleep alone in a dark room, the air conditioner making silent noises as it sprays cold air around the room, you can't help but feel that there's something or someone watching you. Open your eyes and look back, but you realize you can't see anything in the dark. You sigh and go back to sleep, seriously hoping that it was just the sound of small cockroaches traveling around the insides of the wall. But you get bugged, and as you turn, you finally see a faint figure standing there. Your heart beats massively. You can see its head, but there's no face. You could see its long arms, but they don't have fingers or even a hand. You think the legendary Slender Man has finally approached you, but it wasn't him. It was different. It was a ghost or an evil spirit, or a ghoul, or something else scary. But soon enough, faith flows through your head. You bravely stood up, turned the lights on, and saw that the ghost was actually just the hat stand. The faceless head was just one of the hats, and the long arms were just the poles that hang around it. Sighing in relief, you turned the lights off once more, and you jumped back into bed, covering your entire body with your blanket. But you were sure that what you saw was true. You knew that whatever was inside your room except you, it was playing around with you. It wanted your attention. Or maybe it wanted something from you. Was it a soul from purgatory? Was it one of the monsters that you read about in an urban legend? Breathing in weird intervals, you muttered to yourself, "It's just an illusion." Your own words echoed in your head, "It's just an illusion. It's just an illusion." It wasn't. No. Your blanket won't protect you. Prayers won't work if you don't have faith either. You won't be able to escape. The door is locked. The key is missing. So where is it? Perhaps the thing stole it. Either way, there's no escape. And as you open your eyes, you see the faceless head staring down at you. Its long arms extended down to your shoulders. Not an illusion. Never an illusion. Don't forget to pray tonight. It's okay. It really is just an illusion. None of those shadows you see are creeping closer. Those really are just an illusion. The ones behind you, however. Now that you're feeling spooky, let us move into our weekly segment. Welcome, fiends, to Open Mic Night at Beazel Pub, where we invite you to sit right here and go into the more poetic side of fear. poems of murder, creatures, and ghosts. All the things that scare you the most. The first poem you'll hear tonight makes us a double feature. Because not only are we at the open mic, but it is also a Slaughterhouse Stories original. A poem written by your ghastly narrator, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye, is a romantic poem of love and longing, written to a special someone from a special serial killer. And the second poem, written by Zelrock T. Apocalypse, takes us on a depressing journey through the harsh reality of the most well-known, well-loved, and much sought-after being of all time in Not Dead. I'm gonna love you with all my heart until I tear yours out. You are my victim, of that I have no doubt. Our love is just so strong. I don't need a wife. I just need to love you now and gut you with my knife. It's so hard to say goodbye when I have to watch you die. The way you look at me, I lost myself within your eyes. I knew this love was real, and I'd be in between your thighs. The feel of your skin on mine as I bring you to bed. You're so beautiful to me, but only because you're dead. It's so hard to say goodbye when I have to watch you die. The taste of your kiss lingers on my lips after you're gone. I wish this could last forever, but I see the light of dawn. So I close your eyes and know you'll be in my dreams. I will wake full of love, remembering your sweet screams. Let me love you. Let me fuck you. Let me kill you tonight. And let me mourn your loss until I fall in love tomorrow night. I can swear to you tonight that my love for you won't die. I can't say the same for you. It's still so hard to say goodbye. High, high in the sky, there lay a kingdom. In that kingdom there lay a castle, and in that castle lay a man. So frail and weak this man was, desiring only the sweet embrace of death. But death did not come for him. So long had he waited. Years become decades, decades become centuries, then millennia. But still, he did not die. The man had tempted fate. He had renounced life. He'd abandoned all worldly claims, and even taunted the Reaper. Still, he did not die. Forlorn and distraught, the man summoned his son. And unto him the son did come, as he always had. The man asked, "Why do I not die? I have stricken their fields and their livestock. I have smote their wives, their children, and loved ones. Through plague and famine and war, they have known death. I have abandoned them, treated them so coldly. And despite this, still they praise my name. Why can they not let me die? They celebrate me, relish in me, these tiresome people. Every day, my name is known to more of them, by the thousands. Why would they not let me die?" And the son replied, "Father, you are too important to them. You have made them dependent. That is why you cannot die. They have forgotten how to live without you. They cannot bear their lives without the thought of you. They feel they cannot die." "And what fate is that?" asked the father. "They know not what they pine for, this wretched disease. How I wish I could die. Each day I wake in pain. These old bones are not meant for this age. Is such my curse that those who are mortal seek immortality, that I, immortal, seek death?" Replied the son, "Such is your fate, indeed, poor father. You have doomed yourself with your love and affection. Now your name will never die. I pity you. The pain of my own death was but a fraction of that which you feel in life. Death provides solace, enclosure, disclosure. You have been denied. I weep for you, father, but you've only yourself to blame. For as long as your subjects rejoice in your name and in my coming, you shall never die." "Leave me," commanded the father. His anger shook the heavens, rattled the cosmos, tore space, but still he would not die. Again, he lay alone in his chamber, too weak to move. Still today he waits there, crippled and lonesome. He waits to die. People like to say God is dead. But if Mr. Apocalypse is right, he's not, but he sure wants to be. I hope you enjoyed Open Mic Night. I hope the rhythmic verses have you swaying. Because these last two stories will prey on a special fear for some of you out there. Kneel down and knock on the tiny door with me as I debut our monthly feature, The Dollhouse. In the Dollhouse, I bring you one or two doll-related scary stories a month. Just let that idea sink in. Visualize those tiny doll eyes staring at you from across the room. Think of those tiny doll hands choking you while you sleep. Tonight you will get two doll stories, since these are on the shorter side. Like dolls. What? I laughed. The debut story of the Dollhouse is simply called Dolls. By an unknown author, we learn about someone whose parents loved to tease them as a child by hiding a creepy doll in different places. But did Mommy and Daddy really do that? Close your eyes and let's find out together. Here is Dolls. I haven't always been scared of dolls, but recently, they've been getting on my nerves. It's like they can read me. It started out with a prank. My father would set the doll in my room to scare me. I brushed it off as harmless, just bring the doll back to him and going on with my day. Since then I've moved out and I live on my own. I refuse to have any putrid dolls in my home due to my everlasting fear of them. Everywhere I go I see them. I do not see just any doll, but the one my father had used to torment me. I didn't notice it at first, catching just a slight glimpse of it in my peripheral vision. When I first started to see it, it was on a park bench or sitting in a coffee shop. But then it got closer. I had been working all week and wanted the weekend to rest. Friday night I get home, walk in the door, glance around as if it were a ritual, and continue after noticing nothing out of the ordinary. But then I noticed stuff was misplaced. Stuff went missing. It was nothing at first again, but then it got to be heavier stuff, like my whole table. With me on the verge of insanity, I decided to go to my parents for the weekend. Upon arrival, we talked a bit, and after a while of conversing, I bring up the fact that weird stuff has been happening. I also mentioned that I'd noticed a doll they had used to terrorize me. The shock and horror on their faces was unbelievable. "We've never owned any dolls before," they said. I sunk. My insides exploded. I went insane. The whole rest of the weekend, they could barely look at me. I left early Sunday morning, 3-hour drive, and it was all spent thinking about that doll. Finally at home, I reached for my keys, unlocked the door and dropped my stuff. Walking in, I saw it. The red eyes, red hair, white face. It just sat there and glared at me. With a reassuring smile, it said, "Welcome home." It warms my black soul to hear of an adult being reunited with her childhood toy. I hope they'll be together for the rest of their very short life. And for the last story, we hear from a father who will do absolutely anything he can to give his little girl the perfect doll. Again, by an unknown author, the chilling tale called The Doll. I gave her the doll on her birthday. She loved it at first and told me it was so beautiful, that its hair was so soft and the dress was so pretty, she wouldn't let it out of her sight for days. Through the daylight hours, she set it on the table so she could see it while cleaning the house. And at nighttime, it sat next to the bed, watching us sleep with big blue unmoving eyes. But my daughter's love for the doll soon changed. Soon I noticed something was bothering her. I asked, of course, but she wouldn't tell me at first. Said she was just being silly. I could notice it day after day. She became more reserved towards me, until I couldn't take it anymore. I pressed her, told her she would tell me what was going on right now, or I would drag her to a doctor. She finally broke and cried. The words came spilling out. She then told me it was a doll. It scared her. She told me she had the feeling it was constantly watching her. Sometimes it even seemed like it moved. This worried me, and I went to take a look at the doll. It sat motionless on the little table in the bedroom, the big blue eyes unchanged. I couldn't help but sigh from relief a bit. Of course she's not moving. She couldn't have been. I went to turn away, but then I saw a tiny movement from the corner of my eye. I turned back to the doll, picking it up from the table. I held my face close to the doll's, staring into the eyes. Something was moving. I tried to concentrate, tried to look closer. Yes, there it definitely was. Movement. But not from the eye itself. It was behind the eye. Before I could register this, the eye burst, and out of it spilled at least 10 wiggling maggots. I dropped the doll in shock, backing away instinctively. My daughter yelled from the other room, asking me what was going on. I yelled back at her not to worry. I picked up the doll again, using a tissue to wipe away the maggots. Inside, I saw more, pressing against the skin and plastic outer layer. So soon already. I had hoped she would have lasted longer. I will have to get a new one for her. Maybe keep it alive at first. That way, it'll last longer for sure. While I throw away the old doll, I think about how my daughter always says she loves the thick blonde curls of little Katie down the block. Doesn't she also have blue eyes? Time to inspect the dolls around your house and make sure none of them are made of real children. I hope spending time in the dollhouse has you ready to hug your favorite doll and lock it away before you go to bed. Now I believe that is enough scares for this week. I hope you will join me again next week for more stories that are sure to keep you afraid during the day and awake at night. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the stories I had for you tonight. And until next time.
Stay spooky.